Welcome back to Horizons. I'm chatting to Brother Tom Walsh, originally from Cordell in Castle Island. Brother Tom, tell me about your life's work. What have you been doing?
Well, I trained as a De La Salle brother and teaching, and I trained in Maynooth. And we had 4 years in Maynooth, and I really, really enjoyed my time in Maynooth, especially playing with the Sigerson football, right? And there was a number of Kerry priests, future priests, that played with us and everything. And we had fantastic time.
And you did the dip?
My H-dip was the fourth year. And I did the H-dip in De La Salle School in Ballyfermot, right? And I really enjoyed that, and the students that were there from difficult social backgrounds.
A very different background to yourself, to the one you were coming from.
Yes, but kids are kids, and if you treat them with respect and look after them and care for them, after a while they realise you're there for their benefit and for the parents. And we're involved with sport and activities. There was a youth club there on a Friday night, and that used to be fantastic. There could be 80 to 90 kids would come back for 2 hours, and they did various activities, table tennis, pool, listening to music, throwing darts or whatever. And there was a great spirit in the school afterwards. And you made yourself available on a Friday night, I think it was from 7 o'clock to 9, right? And those kids were off the streets, and they were looked after, and they were happy. You'd meet them in school afterwards, and it made things so, so easy.
What were your subjects, Tom?
I was teaching English and history and religion, right? And in the last number of years down in Waterford, I was teaching a lot of religion, right? And it's challenging because a lot of kids would say they have no faith, or they have no faith at home. The faith hasn't been passed on to them. And they'd be asking you questions, why bother with faith? And could not we survive without faith and everything? But I'd be very strong that at some time in their life, they would come back to God. And we were witnesses, and we still are witnesses to our faith and giving them examples. We tell them all about the seasons, right? Lent and Easter, and the significance and the importance of it. In the schools, there's tragedy from time to time. Right, everyone sees there's accidents and there's people pass away, and the way it affects students. We had some students that died of cancer so young, and the impact that has. And they need someone to talk to share. And over the years, there's been a number. Right, so after a while, the kids would come and ask me to pray for them, or their granny, whatever. And they'd come and ask me to pray for them. They'd always ask me to pray for them. No one ever told me to stop praying for them, right? And that could be 20 years later. Right?
And for your own formation, for, you know, teaching religion is difficult in today's world. It is right. Very different to what it was. How have you kept your own knowledge, education, your own spirituality renewed and up to date?
Well, we'd always be doing extra courses. We'd be doing retreats and going to talks. And a lot of the time we pick it up, right, from others, right, that give these talks and sharing. And among ourselves, as brothers, we discuss an awful lot. We'd have community meetings and sharing. And people in schools would say we'd work as teams, right, in the schools, so that it's across the board, everyone is doing the same. Share resources and everything, right, so that to be able to impact students. Working alongside people and helping them. And it's times when there's difficulties and they see the example you are and the way you live. And after a while, doesn't matter what religion it is, right, they'll respect you. If you have principles and strong principles and care for people and show respect, it doesn't matter what culture you're from, they'll really, really respect it.
And fairness. I think fairness is huge for young people.
Definitely. They say that a young person would be able to sum you up in 10 seconds when they first meet you. So they'll know straight away what type of an individual you are in the first 10, 20 seconds, 1 minute. And they'll know then whether they can relax and be easy with you or happy with you, and they will know, right?
So, Brother Tom, when did the building projects begin, like the one that you were fundraising for in Castle Island recently enough?
Well, at one of the chapters in Rome in the 1970s, they were talking about brothers from the first world giving up their summers and their holidays and going out and building facilities for De La Salle places in the third world. So in the 1980s, they set it up with Spain, Ireland and GB. Right. And then the following year, the very first one I'd say was from 1983. The second year, the English and the Irish went together. The following year, the Spanish had their own, the English had their own, the Irish had their own. And we would do a building project, whatever facility they may have required. I don't know how many kindergartens we have built. It's nearly 40 years since we started. Primary schools. And primary schools could be 8 classrooms, 12 classrooms. There could be 2 sessions. Secondary schools. Women promotion centres. We put up a good number of women's promotion centres.
Always buildings.
Always buildings, because we provide the facilities. The locals then use those buildings and offer it for various things. In the last number of years, we built multi-purpose halls. Now they can use it for classrooms, for clinics, for weddings, for funerals, for whatever they choose.
How do you choose the venue, the location, the country?
De La Salle Brothers are in 80 countries around the world, right? So Rome is our headquarters. So a lot of projects would come in from all over the world, whatever they want, right? And we as brothers in Ireland, we'd sit down and choose where we'd go. We'd like to go to a place where they speak English, right? Because most of us are all speaking English, right? We mightn't have Spanish, right? Or Portuguese or whatever. So we're confined to where we go. So I was in Nigeria for 5 years myself. I taught there. Before final profession, I went to Nigeria. And it was a military regime. So I loved the culture and I loved the people in the school, but there was a lot of corruption and bribery because it was a military regime and they weren't being paid, right? They said they weren't being paid and they were all wearing army uniforms and the police were corrupt and everything. But the people were fantastic. I volunteered to go back for another 4 years, right? And I really, really enjoyed working with the people once you were on the ground. But traveling was difficult because the police and the army were just looking for bribes and corruption. It was terrible.
Very hard. So you were there for 5 years?
5 years. Teaching. The first year I came back, they were doing a project in Kenya. So I asked, could I go on the project? And we went to Kenya and we were working with street kids. And that opened my eyes, right, to something else. The street kids would look after us and care for us. And we're walking down the street. There might be a line in the road and they'll say, we cannot cross this. There's another turf of another street kids and they'd be waiting when we come back. So we built an extra couple of classrooms in Nyeri in Kenya, right, for street kids. And they were bringing in the street kids and doing sports with them and getting them to come to school. And now they're living on the streets, so it was very difficult and there was no accommodation for them. Now, when they got a bit of help and support, they had thrived. And like, it was only a pity we have no facilities to give them accommodation.
We'll take a piece of music now, Brother Tom. Steve Green, The Mission.
There's a call going out across the land in every nation. A call to all who swear allegiance to the cross of Christ. A call to truth. Humility to live our lives responsibly, to deepen our devotion to the cross at any price. Let us then be sober, moving only in the Spirit, as aliens and strangers in a hostile foreign land. The message we're proclaiming is repentance and forgiveness, the offer of salvation to the dying race of man. To love the Lord our God is the heartbeat of the spring from which our soul service overflows across the street or around the world. The mission's still the same. Proclaim and live the truth in Jesus' name.
So, when you look back over 40 years of this work, are all the projects still going?
In Nigeria, yes, because Boko Haram, right, took over various parts of the north, and not only La Salians, De La Salle places, but all Catholic, Protestant, right, any other denomination other than a Muslim one, right, in the Boko Haram area, they were all confiscated or leveled to the ground or destroyed. And there was kindergartens and clinics and schools and outstations and churches.
How do you feel about that?
Well, it's difficult. It's really, really hurts when you're providing facilities for young people, Nigerians, right? And we don't discriminate. We don't just pick Catholics. We provide the project for every denomination. And like so, it's sad to see in Nigeria, all Christian places were wiped out. And hopefully that will be reversed and they can go back there in future times. We were in Ethiopia and we went to work with a diocese, not with De La Salle's. We did a few with De La Salle's and Mother Teresa School. And there was a lot of HIV kids, right? And we did a lot of facilities there for them and helped build schools. We had volunteers that worked in Mother Teresa orphanages. Now, fair juice to them to work there. I could not, right? And basically, in those orphanages, all the kids and adults, right, they were all, some were mentally affected, some were physically, right, challenged and everything. And they were really only there to die with dignity, however long it took, right? And there wasn't that many things to sustain them or entertain them and everything. But our volunteers worked there, and I really take off my hat to them for working there, right? I could not do it. So in Ethiopia, we did a lot of projects in rural areas. At present, there's a lot of tension in Tigray, and we did a couple of projects there. There's a lot of difficulty with Tigray, with the rebels and the government forces, even to this day. And at times, we didn't even know if the bishop and his priests were still alive. But thank God, we have been in contact with him, and they're all safe and sound.
So you've had a lot of projects. You've seen a lot of things. You're based in Ireland now.
Yes, yes.
And have been for quite a while. What do you think of the situation around migrants at the moment? What are your thoughts on that?
It's very difficult. There's no straight answer. Like we, the Irish, we had to flee this country with famine and difficulties. And in the 80s, when there was an economic downturn, we headed off in our droves, right? And we went to the four corners of the world, whoever would take us. And like now, we're an advanced country and everything, and I think we could be leaders in helping and supporting. But I think the first world has to help the third world far greater. Wipe off a lot of the debt that's there with other countries, poorer countries. But there has to be a proper system across Europe to deal with migrants, and it's a huge problem. And with global warming and everything, it's probably going to get even worse. So it's terrible to see what's in the streets of Dublin with the tents and everything, right? It's terrible. And I hope that all the European governments come together, right, and solve it. And it's a big problem, and hopefully it will be solved.
I suppose a lot of the countries people are fleeing from are countries that have been colonized and robbed by what you're calling the First World. People have made their money off the backs of poor countries. But do you feel optimistic about things?
I sure do. Young people are brilliant. And like wherever we've gone in the world, the first people that come to us are the kids, right? And they will come, even if it's only a football or a smile and everything, they will come to us. It's the adults that have the problems and difficulties and cause trouble in a lot of places. The kids will be fantastic. And we're in India, and we're hoping to go back there in a couple of weeks' time and do a project. It's mainly Hindus. There's some Muslims, very few Christians. But our school is in the heart of that. And it doesn't matter who comes in the door. Treat them with respect. Give them an education. And it's in a rural area, and Cordell was a rural area, and we'd love to develop and keep them there. We don't want the brain drain going off into the big cities and into Tralee, onto Dublin, Limerick, and the local area devastated. We'd love to empower the locals, and especially women as well, to keep them in their local areas and empower them. And when we had women's promotion centres, they trained them for 2 years in embroidery and secretarial work and everything, and they set up their own like cottage industries and everything afterwards, which is brilliant. And they keep their daughters in school as long as possible. We help in small ways like that.
I'm in conversation with Brother Tom Walsh. Come back to us after this break.